think the highest spam rate is in any one email account?
I guess it would be when you're trying to like bring people in after they've been out in the cold for a long time.
Call that like reactivation, right?
Reactivation, yeah.
It's actually welcome.
Interesting.
You know why it's in welcome? I want my 10% and then I want you to just take a hike. Go in there and look in your welcome program and you're going to find a really high bounce, huge unsubscribe, and huge spam. Let's talk about a message priority and we can talk through what you want to do on this very important part of your email program to keep those spam complaints down. This is a hierarchy of importance.
If you're a D2C brand on Shopify and you're not using Black Crow, then you're leaving significant revenue on the table. Black Crow uses your own data to help you identify customers returning to your site who would otherwise remain anonymous. The more customers you can identify, the more email and SMS abandonment messages you can send. You'll see incremental revenue almost immediately without having to change any of your existing flows. The best part? All it takes is a one-click integration. There's zero development work required. Head on over to blackcrow.ai/DTC to get started with a free 30-day trial.
It's all killer, no filler. I'm Eric. This is the D2C Podcast, and we are back again with crowd favorite Jordan Gordon, director of retention and email at Pilot House. You're like probably the most requested Pilot House podcast guest. How do you feel about that?
It makes me very happy. I hope I do well for everyone in 2024.
You put a lot of prep in. No one else is making the level of notes that you're making, the visual aids. If you're not watching this on YouTube yet, you're missing out. We're actually talking about getting you more into the fray on that side. But anyway, let's start. You said there's some notes about Gmail. I email people for a living, and I'm not aware of these Gmail updates, so I need to be. Can you please lay it down?
First of all, we'll set up. We talked about doing how to turn your email channel into like a revenue driver in 2024. We're going to build on a bunch of stuff from previous weeks and kind of flesh it out. But now all that stuff that I flesh out, I will have to adjust it slightly based on what we're about to discuss today. So this is not like some big game changer. Removing open information from email is like a game changer. This is just like, okay, we need to pay attention to a couple of things that Gmail is doing and build it into all of our work. So I'm just going to go in order. I have one card for today, so there will be one card. But mostly I'm just going to talk through some stuff. So dedicated domain. By the way, if you're on Klaviyo, most of the stuff that most of our clients by far are Klaviyo. So if you go in and look in Klaviyo, there's a little blue link you can click on right now, and they've got some information on this. The dedicated domain thing, this is pretty technical, so we're not going to really go into it right now, but you got to go get a domain. If you don't have one, you can go to GoDaddy. You got to put a DNS record in. This is not difficult, but this is supposed to be implemented by February 1st. And here's the thing. First, you get the dedicated domain. You get into Klaviyo. Second, you got to warm it up. So importantly, don't just turn it on and keep doing what you've been doing. If you do that, you're going to just put yourself in the spam folder, right? So let's talk really quickly about what that warm-up looks like. The very first, like, I had a client once when I was doing a rewarm for them. They were sending, I've probably told this anecdote in the channel, sorry if you've heard it before, but they were sending like 150,000 emails. That's what they would send on their list size. And they were just like super in the spam folder. And we brought them down to, I think the send size was 5,000 addresses, and they got just as many clicks.
Yeah.
Amazingly. That's how much of their stuff was just in spam. So when we talk about warming something up or rewarming something, it's different when you've got your own IP. It's actually much more strict when you've got your own IP, but we're just talking about your own domain, still a shared IP. Bring it down to like anyone who's clicked in the last 30 days. And then when that's going well, everyone's clicked in the last 60 days, then the last 90 days. After this whole thing will be done within a month. So finally get it to like, you can start doing after 90 days, you can start doing clicked in the last 90 days or opened twice, real opens in the last 60. You can start, you know, putting some opens in there as well and just kind of get that done over the course of a month. And what better time than like February, right? It's just not at all. So they kind of timed this so it would be in a really, really slow month. And it's also probably going to be good for you anyway, because if you've got, you know, mydomain.com as your from address, you know, info@mydomain.com, and you've been emailing heavily over Black Friday, and there was a lot of heavy emailing Black Friday this year, this is also going to rewarm what Gmail thinks of that sending domain. So you're kind of getting two birds done with one bush or whatever.
Two birds in the hand, one in the bush.
Yeah.
Warm it up.
Okay. That's two. Yeah. I'm just going to go down here. So that gets you the dedicated domain. Okay. Now, the other important thing I want to talk about is a spam complaint rate cap. So this actually changes something I said just a month ago. We were in a talk just a month ago, and I said, you know, some people run it 0.04 and through Black Friday, whatever, it's fine. Because we do see people run that a little bit hotter, and it's fine. But Gmail says it's not fine anymore. I mean, the wording is should not exceed 0.03, period. So I'll just say the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. We don't know right now what's actually going to happen. We don't know if that's just heavily worded jawboning, like central bank style, or if that's like enforced. But usually what Google says is the truth. Usually what Google says is what they do. So that means you need to have one of your KPIs, at least in Q1 and Q2, while we figure out what's going to happen, one of your KPIs is spam complaint rate. So if you want to find that, realistically, you're going to go and you're going to create a custom report in Klaviyo. I mean, if you use another tool, you'll figure it out. There's some way to do it with whatever tool you're on. But Klaviyo, you go, custom reports. You need to do it for campaigns and for flows separately. And you add spam complaints or spam complaint rate or just spam complaints and sent. And you pull that for your individual messages. So you want to look at your individual campaigns and you want to do a flows report and look at the individual messages in your flows and just see where all your spam complaints are coming from and keep your spam complaints below 0.03%. What we don't know yet, really in practice, we don't know if that's going to be like a blend. The blend should be below 0.03, or if that means on any campaign or any message, if it goes above 0.03, they start truncating your send. We do not know yet.
And it's not worth it. Gmail's 40% of the, like, I think that's the global email market. It's probably even more in the US.
Most clients, it's like 75% is
Gmail. 75%, yeah. That's wild. Yeah, so it's just not worth it. Double check that.
Yeah, now listen to this. Where do you think the highest spam rate is in any one email account?
In like what part of your campaign? Like it would be in...
What part of your program? Where do you think you find the highest spam rate?
Oh, I wonder if it's in the... I guess it would be in like the list hygiene component, like maybe like when you're trying to like bring people in after they've been out in the cold for a long time because they're not expecting the email.
Call that like reactivation, right?
Reactivation, yeah.
It's actually welcome.
Interesting.
You know why it's unwelcome? I want my 10% and then I want you to just take a hike.
Yep.
Right?
Thank you very much. Here's a spam report.
Yeah, totally.
Friendly fire, guys. Take it easy. Just unsubscribe.
Go in there and look in your welcome program and you're going to find a bunch of a really high bounce, huge bounce, because people accidentally put their email address in wrong. I mean, and if you don't have two-step authenticator, two-step whatever, and then huge unsubscribe and huge spam. So let's talk about a message priority. I got a little card for this today. I did bring a card and we can talk through what you want to do on this very important part of your email program to keep those spam complaints down. So I think about a hierarchy. This is a hierarchy of importance. We'll say welcome one, welcome email one is the most important because it's got the offer that they want. And then I'm going to say abandon one, the first message in any abandonment flow, right? By the way, you have to make your abandonment flow so they don't all fire at the same time. You need rules for that. Little pitch for ourselves. We have rules built in that stop that from happening. But anyway, so of course, control your abandon so they don't just all fire at once. But then abandon one, right? And then we'll call it automated other. That's the rest of those abandonment and welcome emails, right? And then finally campaigns. That's our hierarchy. So we're going to control things so these go out in this priority in a very simple method, which, and what we can do is we can use this to stop a situation where someone signs up and they browse a bit, and next thing you know, they've got like five emails in their inbox and they go, oh my God, and they just hit spam.
Yeah.
So welcome one, send it immediate, smart sending off. It goes right away. It goes no matter what. Abandon one, 30 minutes, smart sending off. So they could get both of these, but it would make perfect sense. It would make perfect sense for them to get a welcome email and then get an abandon 30 minutes later if they were shopping.
Yeah.
By the way, when you sign up for a Google account, you get three emails in your inbox. When you first sign up, people will expect a little bit of email, right? But then you don't want, you know, suddenly three more abandoned emails and two more welcomes to come in the next 2 days. It's going to be crazy. So then we have smart sending on for the rest of your automated. That's going to take care of what we discussed, a lot of what we discussed about not having all your abandons fire at once. But if you have rules built in here, built into the flows to prevent them all from firing, you can then allow individual flows to send a bit more often because you know it's not going to spam people's inboxes. Whatever, an aside. Finally, exclude. So you have a campaign exclude, 14 days or whatever, but someone signs up for 14 days, no campaigns. That means they're going to focus on these important emails that you put together, and smart sending is on for your campaigns. So the first two, smart sending off, the rest of the flow, smart sending on, campaign, smart sending on, immediate, 30 minutes, 14 days, right? Welcome one, abandon one, automated other, exclude campaigns. Does that make sense?
It does, but for listeners who don't know what smart sending is, describe that exactly. It's just making sure that it just automatically stops emails from going out within a certain time frame.
Yeah, it'll say, I think the default's 12 hours. It'll say if someone's 16. If someone's received an email within the last 16 hours, don't send this.
Yeah.
Right? And you can change that time frame, and we're going to go through some interesting stuff in the next several weeks where you would have to change that time frame to sneak some stuff into their inbox. But yeah, so smart sending on. The important thing is don't turn smart sending off for welcome one and abandon one, because those are the important ones. And the other ones are smart sending on. So if those ones are already in the inbox, the other ones don't send. So what they have is the two important messages and none of the clutter and no reason to hit spam.
Nice.
Yeah?
What's one, if not the most important part of your own marketing strategy? It's list growth, and Postscript has just rolled out a patent-pending, revolutionary new way to grow your list. With on-site opt-in, here's how it works. A pop-up appears and a subscriber can auto-fill their phone number. They tap submit to subscribe, the visitor is then sent a one-time passcode via text, the visitor enters the code, leveraging auto-fill, they tap submit, and boom, they're subscribed. Moments later, their welcome message arrives. Not only is this a path that customers understand, it's easy to use, it keeps visitors on site, and it solves for any attribution issues. It's the future of acquisition, and it's only available at Postscript. Learn more at postscript.io/onsite.
Now, that was new address priority. The next is segment send frequency. And I do want to develop this specifically when we talk about turning your channel into a revenue driving channel for 2024. We're going to talk a lot about send frequency by segment, and we're going to have like a campaign focused one. But let me just say right now, if you want to, so then you want to go in and figure out your spam rate by two different classes of segment. You're engaged and you're unengaged. We discussed a few weeks ago, people have this monolithic segment. Everybody all in one, right? Like maybe it's 180 days engaged and everybody gets all those. You could change that to 180 to 240 and make the first 120 engaged and the next up to 240 unengaged. You could actually increase the size of your reach by making the first half of it engaged and then the second half unengaged and sending less to the unengaged. So I'll just give you the rule of thumb. Send approximately four maybe, I mean, if your unengaged list is really big, like if you're going back a full year, maybe up to 8 times more to your engaged. So you could send to your unengaged once a month if you're doing 2 a week. I think it's also fine to do 2 a month. So if you send to your unengaged 2 a month and you're sending 2 a week to your engaged,
yep,
that's a good balance for send frequency. And that's going to decrease your spam complaint rate because the unengaged group aren't receiving as many messages. In order to do this, you have to take your monolithic segment and split it up into quadrants or engagement segments. We discussed that a few weeks back. We will discuss it a bit in coming weeks. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. And then finally, last little guy here is value add messages. So we just talked about a bunch of structural things, right? You know, don't spam them in the front door. Don't spam them with your campaigns because there's so many campaigns that go out. Okay. Well, if you want to decrease your spam and you want to maintain 2 messages a week, you'd better make sure your messages are valuable. So if you want to create a relationship, you need to add value and respect people's time. So the more messages you send, the more valuable they have to be. So your whole program cannot be 25% off this week, then 40% off that next week, then 20% off the week after that. It can't be that, or you're gonna hit spam.
And I hear again and again about people using more plain text emails this holiday season, which are sort of instantly disarming, right? Like it's instantly disarming. And I bet the spam complaints are lower on them because they're so much more personal than an HTML formatted beautiful email sometimes.
So the results with those were very strong over Black Friday. And it was also a chance to kind of be very frank and say, you know, like, look, here's the situation. We're almost out of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? It's a chance to just be frank, get right to the point, and be a little more wordy, but have that wordiness people really pay attention to because they don't get lost in the design. Results were great. If you're still doing that in March, you might not be getting the same results.
Mm.
Right? So we're going to see what happens, you know, after in the next few months.
The context I heard it working particularly well was in a welcome flow as the first, you know, very passionate founder, you know, leading into their product and their product story in a plain text email. And I thought that was a good approach to kind of kick the relationship off.
Yeah. Sorry. Understood. I was talking about in a campaign capacity.
Yeah.
Letter from the founders is classic. You can do it. You can actually still do it a little designy and have it like kind of nice yep. font and a picture of the founder. You can do it that way too.
Burnt edges of the scroll.
The one thing I'll say is if you do one of those and it's just pure plain text and it's your welcome email, maybe have your designer still put an actual kind of CTA in there. No one's going to be put off. There's actually a button. Get the click. If you have inline links, make sure that kind of inline link has enough text on it that it's sizable. Make sure you're still driving traffic with that thing. And do not send one that's just all message and isn't driving someone. Make sure the coupon code is in there and drive them to a purchase. Make sure you make that welcome message still a performance message, or you are wasting some of the most engaged time someone is on your list, which is when they first show up.
Great shout. I saw a tweet this morning that made me think, it was a guy sort of talking about how people underestimate the amount of emails it takes to get someone to make a purchase on average. and he basically said he had it in his funnel, which I think it might've been an info funnel versus an e-commerce funnel, but I think it was like 20 to 30. It was between 20 and 30 emails it took on average to make a purchase. I know that's a really boil it down metric. I don't know how much, you know, we always just talk about segmentation and treating everything differently, but how do you think about like ratio of number of emails to send per purchase?
So there's a couple of thoughts I have on this. One, you and I discussed on a previous talk, I said, hey, if you've purchased and a brand wants you to purchase again, and they send you 4 emails, what are the chances you're going to have repurchased in those 4 emails? And you're like, almost none.
Yeah.
Right. And in that talk, I was talking about how many emails, I think it was your reactivation has to be, is what that talk was. So two, one, entirely correct. Takes a lot of emails to get someone to purchase. But here's a very important point to note. If you go, if you say you make a 12 email welcome, let's say for instance, right, at one email a week, or whatever, you could even 22 at two emails a week. You make this huge welcome with all these messages. When you look at the engagement per message, maybe by email five, the engagement, the click-through rate, all that kind of stuff on that message is going to be the same as the click-through rate on your campaign program.
Yeah.
Which means the users, it means they're basically campaigns. The users were super engaged. You got these open rates like huge, click-through rates huge. And then, oh, well, they're now just paying attention the same as it's a campaign. So from my perspective, well, there's two things you can do. One, just stop doing your welcome and just let them into your campaign program. That's one approach. The other approach is go to your campaign program, find the best evergreen messages you've done in the last however long, and feed those best evergreen messages in. I think the thing I want to, what the gentleman or lady said was true, but I want to make sure people don't go and go, oh, well, I've got to create 24 unique messages now, because there are there that much time, that much focus you could devote to other parts of your email program.
And campaigns are going to be more topical and relevant at times as well, and might scratch their itch better than this what pre-thought out welcome sequence. So you wouldn't want to necessarily override those, especially during seasonal events that urge purchase.
Yeah, the easiest thing is let them into your campaign program if you have enough campaigns. So there's a brand we worked with recently that was not single SKU, but kind of single SKU. Like a lot of the business was like upfront business. And so the plan was, okay, you're doing two campaigns a week, fine, but we're gonna build out 10 extra and extend welcome, and they're gonna be very simple emails. It's just like product, price, just so that for the first quarter that someone's on board, they get their inbox is filled. And then after that, it moves down to two, and then it decreases the unsubscribe and doesn't eat into their list as much. Important point, we just discussed how important spam complaint rate it may become. We're going to see what happens. So that whole strategy might be a stinker now. We're going to see what happens.
You have to stay tuned. This episode will be the actual, I think, the final episode. I said this last week, but this will be the final episode of 2023. I think you're the breakout star on the podcast this year, so congratulations. Mentioned
yeah,
that.
Close this down, yeah.
This is going to be December 29th. It's a day after my birthday, two days before my daughter's birthday. So it's going to be a very festive time when this comes out, and really relevant. But anyone who's listening to this over the holidays during that Q5 period, what would you say? What can people expect from you in 2024? In terms of the areas, it's always interesting because we're talking about a system that's like refining over time. So first of all, we're going to be refining and honing in on what we've already talked about. That's going to happen. What else are we going to be talking about in 2024 with you, Jogo?
If you recall this time last year, I was getting geared up for heavier sends, a really full inbox, more competition, focusing more on engagement in the segments. Because I felt that, oh, you know, they've raised interest rates quite a bit. They're going to slow the economy down. I've been through, will be my third full cycle doing this. But if you recall, it was this, we had this really weird year where they'd put so much money in the economy that it just took forever to actually slow it down, that I think I'm getting back into the mode that I was last year before we got psyched out. So we're going to talk about inboxing and deliverability a lot, and kind of message frequency, and how to make sure that you get maximum exposure for your messages without damaging your kind of sending reputation. We're going to talk a lot about that. And on our end, we're making our internal deliverability program more robust, and we can actually share a lot of this with our clients now. We are already sharing a lot of this information with our clients because we've made it so that they can access the information. So yeah, really focusing on how you're inboxing and how we can push the limit, understanding that not only is there going to be a ton of competition out there, just like we discussed last year, but now Gmail and other ISPs are tightening, and they're tightening
the screws. Yeah, it makes sense.
Because people are sending so many emails, right? So kind of all that's on my mind is how to navigate so we can keep status quo, and then everyone else will just, they can destroy themselves and we'll just shine through.
It's good news though, because anyone who's listening to the 24th minute of this podcast is in the right camp and is going to benefit from the turning of the screws because they're ahead of the curve a little bit, ideally, because you've listened to Jogo's amazing contribution to the podcast this year. Exciting, man. Well, I can't wait. I know we're going to talk about some subject lines coming up. We're going to talk about other exciting things as well. Yeah. Have a very Merry Christmas, Jordan. I know your mother was there. She was introducing herself to me earlier. So go spend some time with your family. Let them know you're a budding celebrity.
All the best to you and yours and everybody else out in the audience in the webosphere. Have the best of the season.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're not getting the D2C newsletter, you can subscribe for free at directtoconsumer.co. And if you want to learn more about Pilot House's all-killer, no-filler services, take off to pilothouse.co.
I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.